Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville Sports Original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
On WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Here's Johnny.
And happy Friday, everyone. A football Friday. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios, the coldest team in town. Now from great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. If you'd like more information, go to their website, goggincole.com. We'll be with you tonight until 6:45 when we turn things over to Ensworth High Football. All that coming your way tonight, 6:45. The one and only Jonathan Schaefer, Greg Pogue, Dan Bradley, all on the call tonight. And that'll be kicking off just after 7. And at halftime, Jay, you'll have scoreboard updates at halftime. And then after the game, you'll have a recap of all the major action throughout Nashville and Middle Tennessee. And then we'll join in progress Washington State versus Houston. So a big night tonight. And then looking ahead to tomorrow morning, don't forget Prep Football Talk comes your way every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 with Greg Pogue, Coach Bubba Spears, as well as Craig Ladd. Then I come your way every Saturday morning from 10 to noon with our countdown to kickoff tailgate show. And we'll give a little bit of a preview of what we're expecting as far as on tomorrow's show. I'm always excited. You know, last year this really developed where getting the voice of programs, especially on game days, you know, Clemson, Oklahoma, you know, we've had Bob Kessling, you know, Joe Fisher, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I get Pete Arbogast, voice of the Southern Cal Trojans, on the show tomorrow. Looking forward to that.
That's your guy from L.A.
Yeah, Southern Cal taking on BYU tomorrow. Southern Cal, you know, they kind of – look, they're a scary team. They're a scary team, and I know there's all these things going on behind the scenes. Lynn Swann resigns this week from his capacity as AD. But as far as the football program, you know, do I expect them to improve their record 3-0? Yeah. I mean, did they win by 3-plus touchdowns last week against Stanford? Yes. Are they doing it without their, you know, projected starting quarterback who was out last week and he's out for the rest of the year with a torn ACL and torn meniscus and JT Daniels? Yes, yes, yes. Check, check, check. So we'll that's just one of our guests tomorrow. Now, on today's show, don't forget, Eric Bacharach will be a part of the show at 4:35. Eric covers the Tennessee Titans for the Tennessean, so that's our guest at 4:35. And then every Friday at 5:05, handicapper Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com be a part of the show. And by the way, just a reminder, last week, two of the biggest blowouts in college football and the NFL, Oregon just romped all over Nevada. Remember, this was a Nevada team, and it is pronounced Nevada, by the way. if you don't believe me, just go there and try to say Nevada and see what happens. But Nevada, if you remember, they beat Purdue in the opening week. It was all Oregon. Oregon, to me, is the best team in the Pac-12. Don't be shocked to see when we come, you know, into the calendar month of November, late November, Oregon is right there in the hunt for one of those playoff spots. But Oregon won 77-6. Baltimore romped all over the Dolphins 59-10. And Lee Sterling, he won a combined 95 units on those two games. And this week he has another big play, a 45-unit college football release. So Lee Sterling joins us once again just after 5 as we break down some of the bigger college games, NFL selections as well. At 5:35, Trey Scott, national editor, college football coverage with 247sports.com. And then at 6:05, Alan Bell talking NFL, plus some thoughts, too, on college football. He's with CBS Sportsline. So jam-packed show. If you'd like to be part of the show, 615-844-5600. That's 844-5600. And speaking of high school football tonight, week four. Oh, think about that, week four. I mean, next week is halfway through the regular season. What are some of the bigger games you'll be keeping up with tonight, Jay?
A lot of good games tonight. I mean, especially with CPA traveling to Ensworth, that's always a good one. But I'm really keeping my eye Sorry. Keeping my eye on Beach and Hendersonville. Big matchup always between the 5A Beach and 6A Hendersonville. Hendersonville, of course, they got romped their first game against Oakland, but ever since then they've been playing really well. Have won two in a row, but they're going up against Jayshon Parks and Tyshawn Jefferson, who are a combined 447 yards for the Buccaneers. And then we get our guy, Mr. Green Wave himself. That is Spencer Briggs. He has 734 yards rushing on the season with 9 touchdowns for the Gallatin Green Wave as they travel to Mount Juliet. And that's another big matchup as well. Gallatin, you know, looking to try and start 4-0 for the first time in 2011 when they won their first six.
That's not going to be easy, by the way. Juliet, tough out there at home. We'll see how that all plays out with Gallatin 3-0. Mount Juliet's looking to improve to 2-1 on the season.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one, I think, up there. And then you got the Bishop's Cup with Pope John Paul II and Father Ryan. So a lot of good games going on around the mid-state tonight.
Stewart's Creek, by the way, they host Cambridge tonight. Stewart's Creek trying to improve to 4-0 on the young season.
Yeah, Stewart's Creek, you know, they've never been 3-0 in their school's history, and now they are, and now they're looking to try and go 4-0. And they're a team on the rise. You've noticed that their winning has gotten better and better every year. It's gotten increased, and this year they're looking even better than before.
Hey, and by the way, if you'd like to be a part of the show, whether you want to talk college football, NFL, feel free to weigh in at 615-844-5600. We talked about the fact that in week one we had one matchup where both teams were ranked to the top 25 based on the AP poll. Last week we were fortunate. We doubled our pleasure with two of these type of contests. In fact, all four teams are ranked in the top 12, right? This week, zero. Goose egg. But that does not mean there's not some fun games to keep up with. I'm really intrigued about this Kentucky game as they play host to Florida tomorrow night. Remember, Kentucky last year snapped that long losing streak to the Florida Gators, snapping a 31-game losing streak. But here's the other thing, part two of this, that you know, four out of the last five meetings with the Florida Gators and Kentucky, I mean, these games were decided in the fourth quarter contest. And you know, you go back 2 years ago, you know, this was a game where Kentucky was driving for a game-winning field goal. Twice they gave up touchdowns where they only had 10 men on the field on defense. That can never help you win games. The other SEC game, so there's two conference games tomorrow, the Florida-Kentucky game tomorrow night, and then you get Alabama on the road taking on South Carolina. And until South Carolina beat Alabama in that last meeting back in 2010, you know, it wasn't like they had a lot of, you know, that was their first win ever against a team ranked number one, if you recall. This was, you know, Alabama was the reigning national champs, and they get beat. It was a 7-point game there in the fourth quarter, and Alabama, instead of kicking a field goal to, you know, cut the lead to 4, they do a fake field goal, which never had a chance. End up getting beat 35-21. That was the first of three losses that particular season. That was also the team, if you recall, that you know, played LSU when both teams were in the top five to a 3-point game. And then in the Iron Bowl that particular year, Alabama was up 24-0 on the Auburn Tigers and Cam Newton. And that was an Auburn team that came charging back and won 28-7 and then went on to win the SEC title and the national championship over Oregon. But, you know, prior to South Carolina beating Alabama in 2010, their highest ranked opponent that they had knocked off previously was all the way back in 81 when they beat a third ranked North Carolina team. So, you know, we talk about, for example, Vanderbilt never beating a top five team, and they'll have another opportunity coming up next week when LSU comes to town, not unless LSU is shocked by, was it Northwestern State, which they're like 51-point favorites, so I don't see that happening. But it's not like, I mean, and Vanderbilt has beaten top six, but you look at a South Carolina team, you know, you think about, you know, they're, you know, it's a team that when I tell you that, including Alabama, they only have 5 total wins in the history of their program over top five competition. And one of them was Alabama in 2010, that 81 game against the third-ranked North Carolina that I mentioned. The year prior to that, in 2009, it was a win over a then fourth-ranked Ole Miss team. And then they have a couple of wins this decade against top five teams, Georgia in 2012 and Missouri on the road in 2013. So it's not like South Carolina. I mean, up until you know, up until like 2009, you know, they only had one win against a top five team, and that was all the way back to 81. These other four occurred during a five-season stretch, four-year stretch from 2009 to 2013.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like South Carolina doesn't have the capability of coming up with a big upset. I mean, that's a given, I think.
It's not going to happen.
Well, I know it's not going to, but it can happen.
The question, and be one of the games we're deciding, too, we'll be visiting with Lee Sterling about, too, is the fact that, you know, which is Alabama going to cover? You know, they covered late against Duke. You know, and, you know, winning, they covered by one in that one. Well, and then last week, you know, their third team players allowed the, you know, Alabama had to give, 55 to New Mexico State. And that was, you know, asking too much because, well, the fact that New Mexico State was able to add some late points. And so Bama won by 52. It's just not 55. So I bring it up because, yes, do I believe Alabama's going to win big against South Carolina? 17, 21 points, whatever. 25.5 points, that's a tall order on the road in the conference with a team that has pride like a South Carolina team does. Right. And so do they have enough talent to, you know, score a few, 3, 10 points, whatever? If they score 10, that means Alabama's got to score at least, 36.
Or 36,
To cover. So will that happen? You know, they should be able to, but it's on the road. You know, I'm thinking that, you know, the first 15 minutes, just like we saw between Alabama and Duke, could be like, you know, one score here. And then does Alabama put it on late? Probably not. They want to give more experience to these players because they're looking for additional depth. Hey, one of the things I did before the show, I was just curious. I know it's only been 2 weeks. I was curious to see of the Power Five and the group of five, the next group of five teams, you know, conference teams 6 through 10 as far as those conferences, how many teams that are still unbeaten and how many teams that are winless through these first 2 weeks. And this is what we have. 52 teams total of the top 10 conferences are still unbeaten. There's 17 teams still looking for their first win of the year. In the Power Five, there's 36 unbeaten teams with only 6 of the Power Five conference teams that are still winless. And obviously, from a Southeastern Conference standpoint, there's two teams that fit that mode. One, Vanderbilt, 2, Tennessee. So 2 of the 6 Power Five conference teams that have yet to garner one victory this year are both here in the state of Tennessee. Now, as far as the group of five and independents, there's 16 unbeatens, and in that group you also have, like, Notre Dame. And then there's 11 teams that are still winless. But you go back to that number, 36 teams still unbeaten as far as Power Five, 6 that are still seeking their first victory of the year, and that includes Tennessee and Vanderbilt. Tennessee should be able to get one coming up on Saturday against Chattanooga. You know, I would be shocked if that does not happen, honestly. But then again, though, see how Tennessee is fired up. If they're fired up in the first 15 minutes, if this becomes a one-half game, I mean, what does that still tell you about the issues that Jeremy Pruitt has in motivating his team, having the players want to play for him as that week? Because it's not getting easy after this week. You know, next week they take on the Florida Gators. Tennessee does on the road. They get the bye week. Then you get Georgia, Mississippi State, Alabama, South Carolina. Your season can quickly derail anyway, no matter what happens on Saturday.
Do they have to win by a lot for people to feel better about this team?
You're not feeling better about this team right now. You know, because you should be 3-0. Honestly, looking at that, the schedule was designed for Tennessee to be 3-0 after the first 3 weeks. So yeah, so what? You beat Chattanooga, so you're 1-2. There's nothing good about that. You can slice it and dice it and throw it out there and spend control all you want. There's going to be nothing good. I mean, this is what you're supposed to do when you write a paycheck to a Chattanooga and you show up and you win big. That's what you're supposed to do. The fact that you entered the game 0-2, you know, and here's the thing. If you go 0-3, I know there's like, well, there's all this buyout money already out there. You have to buy out him and the staff. You don't have to worry about buying out the staff now. Jeremy Pruitt will not be coaching against Florida. If Tennessee, mark my words on that, if Tennessee loses to Chattanooga on Saturday, there's no way he coaches next week moving forward. 615-844-5600. Don't forget, coming up tomorrow, our countdown to kickoff tailgate show from 10 a.m. to noon. We'll look at the SEC landscape, top 25. We'll have a great guest as well. Plus, starting with the 11 o'clock kickoff, scoreboard updates and more. Each and every week, we appreciate our sponsors making it possible for us to bring the show to you. Brought to you in part by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, along with Penn Station East Coast Subs, real estate agent Richard Courtney at Frederick and Clark Realty, Inns Bank, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, Casa Nashville, and Klein Preston Law Group. That's tomorrow morning and every Saturday morning during the college football season from 10 a.m. to noon, right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. A wreck in Rutherford County's got traffic really slow. It's on 24 eastbound near Highway 96. That's right when you come past 840 on 24 going eastbound out there headed towards Murfreesboro. It's busy out here at 8th and Wedgwood because of an accident with injuries. Also tied up, traffic's tied up there in the 5400 block of OHB in Hermitage. Two cars hit really hard at that location. Celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest, September 21st through October 28th. Check it out, obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about genetically modified ingredients?
Don't like them.
Artificial flavors and colors?
No thanks.
Clean ingredients.
Now that I like.
When you care about what's in things and what's not, shouldn't your vitamins be clean too? Sundown Vitamins are all clean all the time. Non-GMO, free of gluten and dairy, with colors and flavors from real food. We even have USDA certified Sundown Organics and kids vitamins too. When you're living clean, choose clean with Sundown Vitamins at supermarkets, drugstores, or on Amazon.
Southern hospitality with a modern twist. Kitchen Notes in the Omni Nashville Hotel offers a farm-to-fork experience for breakfast, lunch, supper, and Sunday brunch. Kitchen Notes uses the freshest ingredients to create great food in a casual dining atmosphere. Don't miss Nashville's only award-winning biscuit bar, serving up a house-crafted sweet, savory, buttermilk, and gluten-free biscuit every day. Try our award-winning patty melt or the grilled pimento cheese sandwich with a side of house-made Tennessee honey slaw, and dessert is always a must in our house. Whether it's in the main dining room or two of our private dining rooms, be sure to make Kitchen Notes part of your downtown Nashville experience. Check out Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville. For reservations, call 615-761-3700. Complimentary valet parking is always available.
You can't run a fly like DeAndre, but at least you can look as fly. Enter for a chance to win hundreds of prizes. Shop with DeAndre.
I'll do everything.
Design cleats for Saquon.
Make me look fly.
Have a draft party with Dion.
What's up, baby?
All you have to do is this. Step one, sign up with the NFL Fantasy app. Step two, draft your team and take a screenshot of your lineup. Step three, follow NFL Fantasy on Twitter and share your screenshot using hashtag NFL Fantasy Sweepstakes. No purchase necessary. Ends 9/15. Rules and eligibility at fantasy.nfl.com/sweeps.
Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM has been your home for sports for 20 years. From typewriters to Twitter, fax machines to Facebook, we have you covered 24/7 and on the go. Finding us online is as easy as at Nash Sports Radio. Twitter, at Nash Sports Radio. SoundCloud, at Nash Sports Radio. Facebook, at Nash Sports Radio. Or search your app store for WNSR. 20 years of sports. Anytime, anywhere. From Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Coming up at 4:35, we will talk about the Tennessee Titans' home opener, fresh off the 1-0 start. Indianapolis, by the way, I thought they played really well when they went out on the road. They lost in overtime to the Los Angeles Chargers. It's going to be a very emotional day on Sunday at the stadium. Retirement of the jerseys for the late Steve McNair. His number 9, also Eddie George, number 27. So you've got that. That's a part of the equation, too, coming up on Sunday. But I still go back to this Indianapolis team. You know, they're fully aware of the fact of their track record, and the fact they've dominated this series going back well over a decade now, 18-3 in the last 21 meetings. Hey, by the way, the Atlanta Braves, the magic number for them, still 8 games. Here's the thing. There's 14 games remaining by the Braves. Washington still has to play 17, but the magic number is 8. So a combination of 8 Braves wins and or losses by Washington. Like, for example, tonight, Braves win, so they'll pick up 2 games. So that magic number then would decrease to 6 because they get credit for a win. Also, Washington with a loss because the Braves are, what are they doing? Oh, they're taking on the Nationals this weekend in D.C. This is the final 3 games between these two teams as far as the regular season. So far through the first 16, the Atlanta Braves with the 9-7 lead in the season series. On the mound tonight, a very good matchup. Max Scherzer on the mound for the Washington Nationals. He's 10-5 on the year, but an ERA of 2.56, 216 strikeouts, and just 154 two-thirds innings. On the mound tonight for the Braves, Mike Soroka, the right-hander, one of the most solid of the individuals in that rotation for the Braves, 11-4 on the year, 2.67 ERA. You see those numbers by Max Scherzer, and you're going, boy, he certainly, you know, probably deserves a few more wins. And when you think about what he's been able to post, you know, throughout the season for the Nationals.
Brian, I mean, he's been pitching so good this year. I mean, he had a little bit of an injury there mid-summer, but right now he's just been pitching just absolutely amazing lately. So that'll be a good matchup with Soroka and him.
All right, so last night, week two kicked off, and it was a doozy. No, not really.
No pun intended.
It was a doozer. No, not that either. It was a snooze fest. Yeah,
there we go.
That would be it.
A snoozer.
How about the fact that Cam Newton now is he's lost 8 straight starts.
0-8.
8 straight starts with last night's defeat. And guess who I had, by the way? Oh, I had Tampa Bay, I feel good about.
So you had famous Jameis.
Had Tampa. And this is where, you know, that's why I'm looking at some of these matchups this week. The one that really screams out to me, because, you know, the general public from the West Coast to the East Coast, they look at this matchup, for example, in the NFL with how bad Miami looked against Baltimore, losing by 49, 59-10, and you had players from Miami already wanting to get out of there. Minkah Fitzpatrick is, you know, he had to play, several positions last week. It's like, okay, this has got to stop, you know. So he wants to be moved there. So anybody wants to give up a first-round draft pick, you know, you can get Minkah Fitzpatrick on your team. But Miami, the fact that they're at home against the Patriots, and Miami gets 19 points. 19 points. And everybody goes, oh yeah, that's you know, if the Patriots can beat. This is the way that the general public is thinking without breaking down this game. They're thinking, if the Patriots can beat Pittsburgh by 30, then absolutely they can beat Miami by 19,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
I think that's just lulling people to sleep right there. I think that's too easy. So I'm going the other way. I'm taking 19 points in the NFL is way too many points.
That's true.
And the same reason why I saw enough out of Kyler Murray in the fourth quarter. Last week, you know, they tie. So Arizona and Kyler Murray's debut, they didn't win, but they didn't lose. So they get the tie against Detroit. They get 13 this week against Baltimore. And I understand Lamar Jackson. Miami made Lamar Jackson might as well start just, you know, getting the engraver there and working out the bus for him as far as Canton, as far as the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Not so fast.
With a little laminated piece of paper like Drew Brees.
Do I see Baltimore winning? Yeah, I can see that on Sunday. But do I see them winning by 13? Once again, I go back to the fact that's way too many points. Way too many. Now, and the other game that's really intriguing, and we'll be talking about this one at 5:05 with Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports, our handicapper. Houston at home, 8.5-point favorites against Jacksonville. And you looked how well Jacksonville played, you know, after Nick Foles goes down.
Right.
Gardner Minshew was expecting just to hold a clipboard all day, right? He gets inserted into the lineup. And look, he performed well against Kansas City, 22-25. I get all that. Here's the thing. You know, it's one thing when you're not expecting to play and you get thrown in there, so you don't have a chance to get really nervous or anything because, hey, you got to get thrown in there into the fire.
Right.
Houston's had all week to prepare for Gardner Minshew. And yes, they give 8.5, And usually I'm thinking that's a lot of points to a, you know, Jacksonville team with a lot of defense. Well, you look at what Kansas City was able to roll up on that Jacksonville defense last week. Plus, remember, Houston, you know, coming off that loss to New Orleans, a game that they thought they had won, you know, Houston's going to put up some points.
Oh, yeah.
And they honestly, you know, most of the folks other than fans of the Saints and Drew Brees just assumed that that was going to be a W for Houston, and the Saints obviously had different things. But to lose a game on a 58-yard field goal walk-off like Houston did, I think that if they had been on the road, if this game was going to be in Jacksonville, I'd have a different look at this game, a different take on this game. But the fact that it's the team can respond well with their fans supporting them too, kind of like Houston. I think Jacksonville's going to have a tough year now without, you know, they'll be able to have some fun numbers and all that. Now, here's the interesting part. So you get Jacksonville on the road taking on Houston. You've got Tennessee hosting Indianapolis on Sunday, and then it's a short week. Remember, 4 days later, these two teams, because, you know, you can always count. What can you count on Thursday nights besides some bad football at times? You can always count on the fact that Jacksonville and Tennessee will be playing one of those Thursday night games. it's just become like the norm, just like we expect, Dallas and Detroit to play on Thanksgiving Day. Same thing applies. You can always expect the matchup between Tennessee and Jacksonville, one of those two meetings, to be on Thursday Night Football, and that's what we get coming up on Thursday on the short week as far as starting week three.
Are we getting the two-tone blue and mustard uniforms?
I hope not. I still go back. My TV never recovered from when the Jets played the Bills, and it looked everybody had a grandmother or an aunt that would buy pajamas as Christmas gifts. And no one ever liked the colors. No, they're always hideous. And it's like, oh, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Hugs,
this is going in the garbage later.
Hugs, kisses. I can still donate these by December 31st and get credit as far as a tax write-off, right? So I bring that up because that's one of the things. My TV never recovered from when the Jets played the Bills on that one night in those ugly uniforms. So, yeah, that's one of the things that we can always anticipate, ugly uniforms on Thursday night. Yeah. Or, like in last night's game, just a very bad football game, period.
That too.
All right, coming up on the other side, a chance to talk some Titans in Indianapolis. Eric Bacharach, he covers the Titans for the Tennessee, and he'll be joining us. This segment brought to you by Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. If you're looking for the ideal destination for family fun, I'm talking about a place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. So experience a great time with your family, your friends, and your coworkers. And with five centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. And the fact, too, that you can always keep up with your favorite teams on the TVs that are located throughout as well. Book your next party or event, birthday parties to family reunions. And if you need more information, go online, strikeandsparebowling.com. Locations to serve you, Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, which includes bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also with laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Afternoon, heavy traffic, as you would imagine on a Friday afternoon here on the South Loop, the West Loop, finishing up a wreck at 8th there at East Argyle Avenue in Midtown. Had injuries involved in that wreck. A few wrecks over on James Robertson Parkway in East Nashville being moved, and 5400 block of OHB there in Hermitage still getting some attention. Hey, celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest, September 21st through October 28th. Check it out, obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck, you're on time traffic.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Okay, let's say your business does $5,000, $20,000, $100,000 or more in monthly revenue. There are probably times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Right. If you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Cash Advance Line right now. We're not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you, good credit or bad credit. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to $500,000. You can use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money and you don't want to deal with a bank, call now. Learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as 2 to 3 days.
Call now. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
Napa Know How.
Now at Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, get a $20 prepaid Visa gift card when you buy oil, air, and cabin air filters. Because let's be honest, you probably don't remember the last time you changed them. So buy all three filters at your local Napa and get $20 back. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, limit 2 prepaid cards per household while supplies last. Offer ends 10/31/19.
Five-state forecast.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast. For this afternoon, sunny and hot with a high 98. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low 72. For Saturday, mostly sunny with a high 91. And for Sunday, more sunshine with an average high of 92 degrees. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Shannon Holly.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Don't forget, coming up just after 5, Lee Sterling, handicapper with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. But right now, going back to the hotline, our good buddy Eric Bacharach. He covers the Titans for the Tennessean. Eric, hope you've had a great week, and as always, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Johnny. Happy to be back on.
Hey, Eric, first of all, let's look at the magnitude of what this game means. The fact that the Titans get that win in the opening week against the Cleveland Browns, if they beat the Colts, that means they'll be 2 games up on the Colts, and they will also be 2 games up on the loser of that Houston-Jacksonville game. Right. Not a bad way to start 2019 if you're in that situation.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you bring that up, because Eddie George was at the Titans facility yesterday, gave like a 9-minute pep talk to the team after yesterday's practice. And he basically said, he spelled that out for them, that this game, he called it more important than a playoff game for the Titans, because it can represent sort of the shifting of power in this conference. It has the potential to do that if you're the Titans, you know, for the reasons that you mentioned. If you win this game, you're 2 up on the Colts, and 2 up on either the Jaguars or the Texans, whoever loses that game. You really kind of seize the momentum in the conference division. And then you kind of just look at the fact that, you know, this is a team that has not started 2-0 often since they've been the Tennessee Titans. Just twice since 1999 have they started 2-0. And Eddie George, you know, pretty much said, take this game personal. Everything on the line in this game sort of makes it what it is, and that's just a really important game. You know, not just a week 2 game, but sort of just in the scope of their season, what they're trying to do, and kind of just going forward as far as what the Tennessee Titans are. You know, this perennially underrated team. This is a chance to sort of change that. George spelled that out to the Titans, and I think, you know, he's right just as far as the long-term, at least the season ramifications of what this game can have. And, you know, not to mention it's the Colts, a team that recently they've just had almost no success against. So for a lot of reasons, there's just a lot on the line this Sunday against the Colts.
I mean, and here's the thing. We look at the results from week one, and I look at the Colts. You never want to, quote-unquote, find any silver linings in a loss. I mean, it's a loss. But the fact, the matter is, the Colts, I thought, played extremely well against the Los Angeles Chargers in that first game, losing in overtime the way they did. And to me, it's still, you know, not to take away from the Titans' win over Cleveland, but I think that 30-point victory, that margin is the part that's very misleading. This was a two-point game in the waning moments of the third quarter, and the fact that Cleveland helped on one of the drives by just giving them penalties left and right, 18 penalties for 182 yards, you know, it would be very easy to get caught up in the just that final score and not really dissect the game. I mean, not to take away, from, like I said, from the Titans' win, but at the same time, you don't want to see just the final score and put yourself on this stage that you didn't quite live up to just yet, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I agree. There was a couple, you know, big plays toward the end of that game that helped sort of skew the score and made it a 30-point game. It was closer than that, you know, for the majority of that game. And yeah, you know, I agree. The Titans absolutely won that game. It's not like the Browns, you know, lost it per se, but 18 penalties for 180-plus yards, you know, does a lot to sort of help you there. And then, you know, on the other side, I think the Colts, you know, they were – a lot of people saw them as Super Bowl contenders with Andrew Luck. And, you know, you take him out of the equation, and obviously that's a drastic change for them, but it doesn't mean that they're, you know, suddenly not a good team. They have, you know, as we saw against the Chargers, another team that a lot of people – you know, see as Super Bowl contending. They played really well. You know, started with that really good offensive line. Marlon Mack was pretty much unstoppable in that game. I think he finished with like 7 yards per carry, you know, went for 174 rushing yards, leads the league in that category after 1 week. Jacoby Brissett was really solid, you know, 21 of 27, played mistake-free, threw a couple touchdown passes, including one to T.Y. Hilton with under a minute to go to force overtime. So, you know, and they were down in that game, you know, two scores at halftime, you know, in San Diego. A lot of resiliency there to sort of fight back the way they did. And they would have won that game, honestly, if, you know, their Hall of Fame kicker didn't miss. I think it was 2 of 3 field goals plus an extra point, which was obviously very uncharacteristic of Adam Vinatieri. You know, so a couple things break right for the Colts, you know, as they were probably expecting, and they win that game. And then, you know, I think the tone of this one is a little bit different. Instead, you know, I think some people are still sleeping on the Colts, you know, after in light of the Andrew Luck news. And, you know, I think that's a mistake. I think this is going to be a really close game for the Titans. It always is against the Colts, you know, as I mentioned, you know, just going back, you know, in a decade, they've really struggled against this team. And yeah, they're missing their star quarterback, but, you know, they're a really sound team, even beside that. And as I mentioned, Weaver said, looked really good against the Chargers. So I think it's going to be a really tough game for them. But, you know, I think that all of that sort of amounts to just raises the stakes as far as if you're able to get this win, you set the tone in the division and you kind of put the rest of the NFL on notice.
I mean, a couple other parts, too. You bring up Marlon Mack's name, who right now leads all of the NFL rushers, you know, as far as just counting week one, he had with the 174 yards. But he also had a big game, if you recall, back on December 30th, too. I mean, he rushed for 119 yards, averaged almost 5 yards per carry on 25 attempts. And one of the things that we can always seem to count on by the Colts when they play the Titans is the fact that you know, anticipate some big plays from the tight ends. The tight ends always seem to have pretty good games, whether you're talking about Jack Doyle or Eric Ebron. And that's another factor and another thing that this defense has to worry about. Now, I will say this about the Titans defense last year, if you recall, no Jarrell Casey, and certainly that's a difference maker. But nevertheless, it's still something that the Titans are going to have to deal with, you know, with the T.Y. Hilton as far as breaking deep, you know, the tight ends that we just brought up, and also the balance as far as what they can do with the running game. It's not going to be an easy task for the Titans defense to, quote-unquote, stop this Colts offense on Sunday.
Yeah, it's not, and that was the first point that I was going to bring up, is just the fact that Jarrell Casey will be on the field this time where he wasn't, on December 30th when they lost that game, and that does make a world of a difference, you know, as far as just that defensive front and having the four-time Pro Bowler sort of anchoring that unit. It does, you know, change the complexion of the Titans' defense. And, yeah, you know, I agree. I think the Titans' defense, we got a glimpse of how good they could be last week, going against a Browns offense loaded with playmakers. Nick Chubb had 74 rushing yards against the Titans, but it was an awfully quiet 74 rushing yards. So they really needed a performance like that against Marlon Mack, who so far has looked, as you mentioned, the leading rusher in the league right now. And then all those offensive weapons, the Colts with their tight ends, as you mentioned last year, seemed like Luck was throwing touchdowns to tight ends multiple times a week. And that was a big part of their offense last year. But, you know, I just think the Titans, if they can get the pass rush that they got last week, and honestly for the first couple of series, that their pass rush was non-existent. And then it kind of came to life as the game went on. Cam Wake was super efficient with his playing time, you know, really didn't play. I think it was more than 30, a third of the defensive snaps, but obviously made the most of those with 2.5 sacks, 4 quarterback hurries. You know, Harold Landry from a statistical standpoint, you know, didn't really show up much on the stat sheet, but he was disruptive as well. If you could get those two guys going, if you could disrupt Brissett, you know, I think it all starts there. And then obviously a huge part of this game is going to be containing Marlon Mack, as they did Nick Chubb last week. And I think, you know, just if there's one thing you could be hopeful for with this Titans team, if it's not special teams with Brett Kern, you know, booting 70-yard bombs and Cairo Santos, you know, continuing to look really sharp as a replacement for Ryan Suckup, it's this defense coming through, like it did last year. And, you know, so far, all the signs point to this being or being capable of being a top-5 defensive unit. I think the pass rush continuing to be as good as it was against the Browns is really the key to that. But it'll really get a good test this week as far as trying to stop the run.
Yeah, a couple of areas that I think that are huge, you know, and we always talk about turnover margin, and especially if you're a road team like Indianapolis, you want to be able to beat out the Titans in that particular stat. The other thing is also getting pressure on the quarterbacks. In week one, the Titans were able to do that against Baker Mayfield. The same thing applied with the fact that the Colts defense was able to apply pressure to Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. And we look back to, however, Marcus Mariota last week sacked 4 times by Cleveland. Can Marcus Mariota, you know, if he's your quote-unquote franchise quarterback, he has to be able to, on a consistent basis, put together, you know, back-to-back games, especially if you're hosting a opponent like Indianapolis at home, knowing how important this game is. It's something else to watch out for on Sunday.
Yeah, for sure. He's got to start stringing together good games. And, it's hard to sort of argue with his second half against the Browns, you know, 6 of 6, 3 touchdown passes. He looked pretty good. To me, he didn't really look like he was, you know, slinging them in there, didn't really thread the needle on any passes. But what he did well was, just put his playmakers in position to sort of, flaunt their ability with A.J. Brown. Derrick Henry on that screen pass. We just saw a lot of that. Delanie Walker. And so, you know, that's what Mariota can be for this offense, just sort of, this facilitator. And, as long as he's not mistake-free, when Derrick Henry's doing well, running well, when the defense is playing well, he doesn't have to throw for, 350 yards. Obviously, you would like him to approach that a couple times, but him just throwing 3 touchdown passes is something he hadn't done in a couple years. No turnovers is obviously huge. I think all of that might not be or put him in that conversation of being an elite quarterback, but it's what the Titans need, just given the makeup of their team. And so if he could put another performance like that together, I think that's that would be an important step in sort of getting the better of the Colts. And, I think, again, as you kind of alluded to, the offensive line was pretty good against the Browns, despite allowing those four sacks. I think especially pretty good going against that Browns defensive front, and the fact that you're missing Taylor Lewan and starting right guard Kevin Pomfiel. But that's another question this week. Can they do it again and be consistent again, or consistent enough that it's not this overwhelming problem as it was so often last year? I think that's going to continue to be something to watch as long as Taylor Lewan is out, which is, another 3 weeks now, and as long as Pomfiel is not the starting right guard. Although Jahmyr Douglas, you got to give him some credit for looking as good as he did as the backup against the Browns last week as the starting right guard.
Eric Bacharach with the Tennessean. And the other thing, and I know Corey Davis looked good on the block with Derrick Henry's, taking it to the house on that screen pass. But I'm just looking at Hilton's numbers as a number one receiver for the Colts, 8 catches, 87 yards. And that's but he did score 2 touchdowns. At some point or another, Corey Davis is going to have to produce like a quote unquote fifth overall number one pick. And it's great that the Titans didn't need those numbers and that kind of impact last week against the Cleveland Browns. But eventually, no production like that is going to come back and bite you.
I agree, and it is great to see him, blocking on all the way downfield on that Derrick Henry 75-yard touchdown run, and kind of what he said afterwards, just in relation to the fact that he didn't have a catch. He just kind of pointed out that they got the win, and that's what's important because in this era where you've got Antonio, the Antonio Browns of the world, just all these diva wide receivers, it is a breath of fresh air. But as you mentioned, I think the most astounding thing to come out of week one was just the fact that the Titans put up 43 points, won by 30, and Adam Humphries and Corey Davis, your top two receivers, combined for 1 catch for 5 yards. If you told me that was going to be the production before the game, I would have said no way they're winning this game against a really strong Browns offense, but lo and behold, they didn't need that from their top two guys. But I agree. I think this is an offense where you do have a lot of weapons now, where you don't need Corey Davis to put up 100 receiving yards every game. But I do think his floor should be obviously less than or more than no catches. I think it should be somewhere around 50 yards as far as the minimum you want to get from him every week production-wise. And, you would expect to see Adam Humphries deliver a little bit more too, just sort of with how, he was advertised and how he was brought in here to be the slot weapon for the Titans that they didn't have last year. But we saw them put up 43 points and get production elsewhere from Delanie Walker, from A.J. Brown, from Derrick Henry. So I think this is an offense where every week it's going to be somebody else stealing the show, so to speak, as an offensive performer. I just think it's key that when that happens, let's say it's Derrick Henry or Delanie Walker or A.J. Brown tonight, Derrick or Corey Davis doesn't completely disappear on the stat sheet. You still need some production from him as well as Adam Humphries.
Eric, before we let you go, remind the listeners again all the different ways to keep up with your coverage of the Titans.
Sure. On Twitter, I'm at Eric Bacharach, and if you go online to tennessean.com/sports/Titans, you can find all my stuff there.
All right, Eric, appreciate it. See you at the stadium on Sunday, but until then, have a great rest of the day.
Sounds good. Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you. Eric Bacharach joining us once again. This segment brought to you by Real Estate All-Star Richard Courtney. Every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line, and it's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home. Knowledge, trust, results. Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. So learn more about his proven marketing plan. You can go to his website at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. That's 300-8189. Richard Courtney, part of Frederick and Clark Realty at 615-327-4800.
increase out here big time. As we check it out live here on Briley Parkway, we're looking at a wreck that they're trying to hurry and clear here on Briley Parkway at Opry Mills Mall. Traffic's bumper to bumper coming off the South Loop, the West Loop. It's also heavy trying to get down into Brentwood right now on 65 going southbound. They're checking an accident at the at Ellington Parkway right near Cleveland. Hey, celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest, September 21st through October 28th. Check it out, obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck, you're on time traffic.
The final lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
All right, now the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs for 2019 begins this weekend in the desert at Las Vegas Motor Speedway on a 1.5-mile oval, banking pretty decent at 20 degrees. The front stretch is 2275 feet, backstretch 1572. The Cup race full length is 267 laps or 400.5 miles. Now the stages come in like this. Stage 1 is 80 laps, then stage 2 is another 80 laps, and then they finish it out going to 267. Earlier this year's winner was Joey Logano, and in case you're wondering, Brad Keselowski has 3 wins at LVMS, 2014, 2016, and last year. Yeah, he's the defending race winner. Check out all the NASCAR Cup Series action. Make note of this, a little bit later start, 7 p.m. Eastern on NBCSN. More from Matt DiBenedetto, who's going to the Wood Brothers next year, and was Bristol the major factor in getting this team's attention?
It was crazy because Bristol was an emotional week and weekend, having a a great run, but there were a lot of tears after that. My wife was so nervous, like, man, this guy could be again in a situation where I don't have anything next year, not sure. And then a little bit after the Bristol race weekend, when I got the first phone call, and when Paul was thinking about making this decision, so it all came together really quick, and it's just amazing how things turn.
The final lap.
Staples gives your business more for less.
It's where I get more peace of mind knowing my ink is in stock. It's where I get more done with my day because I'm in and out fast. And where I get more savings since it's always low priced.
And now, buy one HP ink cartridge for your HP OfficeJet Pro printer and get a second 30% off. Plus, get free overnight delivery on HP ink at staples.com. Staples, for all your business essentials and beyond.
Ends 9/14/19. Restrictions apply. Free delivery excludes holidays and weekends. Order by 5 p.m. See staples.com/HPBOGO or store for details.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't hang up. You need to hear this. You gotta quit wearing that aviator jacket. Nobody's buying it. I'm sorry you have to hear it from me, but at Progressive, we're all about giving it to people straight. That's why we show our rates alongside our competitors' rates. And when you're helping people find great rates, you don't need some jacket to look cool. Just keep rocking that scarf.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparisons not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Eric Oprun, Managing Director of the Omni Nashville Hotel. I want to personally invite you to experience the local flavor of Music City at our award-winning property. From our one-of-a-kind culinary outlet to the ultimate luxury of our full-service Mokara Spa, Omni Nashville offers something for everyone. Whether it's the biscuit bar in our Southern-inspired Kitchen Notes restaurant or our upscale honky-tonk bar lines, or if you prefer a romantic dinner, visit Bob's Steak and Chop House. Come on down and see us at 250 Fifth Avenue South, located in the heart of the SoBro District.
Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Don't forget, coming up just after 5, Lee Sterling, like we enjoy doing each and every Friday during the football season. 505 Handicapper with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. Huge wins last week for Lee. In fact, he was on the right side with the big blowouts in college football and the NFL. Oregon's 77-6 win over Nevada. Baltimore's 59-10 victory over Miami, a combined 95 units on those two games. And this week he has another big play, a 45-unit college football release. We'll be looking at some of the bigger college games this weekend, the Titans game with Indianapolis, Houston, Jacksonville, and more. That's coming up at 5:05. Hey, by the way, tonight, 6:45 for the pregame kickoff, just right around 7 o'clock tonight. Jonathan Schaefer, Greg Pogue, Dan Bradley on the call as Ensworth plays host to CPA. Jay, you'll have scoreboard updates at halftime, plus a complete look and recap of the big action in Nashville and Middle Tennessee after the game. And then after that wraps up, we'll have Washington State and Houston college football action tonight joined in progress. Another note, too, about if you're going to the Innsworth CPA game, you know, on Sunday, Eddie George, along with the late Steve McNair, getting their jerseys retired by the Tennessee Titans at halftime.
Right.
Eddie George and some former players of the Titans will actually be at tonight's CPA Innsworth game tonight.
There you go.
So that's another cool thing. So what are some of the other games you're keeping up with as we're now looking at week four of the high school football season?
Definitely looking into the Sumner County rivalry with Beach and Hendersonville. Also Gallatin and Mount Juliet and the Bishop Cup going on with Pope John Paul II and Father Ryan.
And there some other key games. How about Page trying to remain unbeaten? They host Lipscomb Academy tonight. Gallatin on the road at Mount Juliet. Stewart's Creek looking to go 4-0 on the young season as they play host to Cambridge. A lot of fun football games. You get a chance and you got some free time tonight. Go out and support your nearest high school and enjoy some outstanding action to start your weekend as well. Hour number one in the books. Hour number two coming up. We'll visit with Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports at 5:05. At 5:35, Trey Scott, national editor for college football coverage with 247sports.com. That's all coming up in hour number two. You know, we know you have choices each and every day, and we appreciate you making our show and our station a daily destination. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.